He is worthy, and nobody else, but he's worthy to be praised. This morning we will be coming from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, just two verses this morning. If you are able, not physically incapacitated, please stand for the reading of God's Word. John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Let's read. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Before you take your seat, shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we just come to you right now in this hour of worship to lift up and magnify and glorify your name. Father, we just ask that you come into this house right now and move in a mighty way by your Spirit. Father, shut Kelvin down and lift Jesus up right now in this house today. Speak to your people in a mighty, powerful, and relevant way. And we'll give you all glory, all honor, and all praise until the day we see you face to face. In Jesus' name, let somebody shout amen.
Amen.
To our pastor and first lady on their fifth anniversary. And to my, not my brother-in-law, but to my brother, Minister Keith Barnwell. And to all of our members and our guests this morning, and to our excellent Young Believers Choir. Good morning and praise the Lord. Now last month, if you were here, you'll recall that we spoke from the subject of It's Your Move. And we talked about how in order for us to be people of God that make a positive difference, we have to make adjustments in our approach and in our attitude, and that we have to live up to our expectations and our responsibilities, and then we have to deal with the source of our questions and our doubts. And we've got to make a commitment to discipline and discipleship. And if you'll recall, we spoke about how fasting and prayer enables us to accomplish all four of those things. And if you accepted the challenges, if you accept the challenge that was presented to you that day, not just grab one of the envelopes out of curiosity, but if you were serious about making a move to become more and more pleasing to Christ in all that you do, no doubt you've experienced more challenges than normal over the past 30 days, because I know I did. And if you did too, then you now better understand what it means to be in spiritual warfare. See, you can better understand the tactics of the enemy and why it's important that we be equipped to defeat it. So today we're going to continue along that same path as we seek to understand another primary weapon in our arsenal against the enemy, as we speak from the subject of the four elements of worship. All right. See, God is waiting for his people to move forward and to accomplish the things that he set out for us. See, as people who claim to love and be committed to the Lord, we seem to have our priorities all out of line. See, we seem to always be seeking God's blessing. We strive for and we crave. We even brag about how we have God's favor. But we rarely strive to understand God's will and God's purpose for us. See, we want to see his hand, and we want to feel his presence, but we don't want to seek his face. See, we want the intimacy of a close relationship with God without the investment and the time it takes to build one. See, we cling to righteousness, but we stray away from holiness. See, we need to understand that living our lives according to God's plan is going to cost us something. See, it's going to cost you some time. It may cost you some money. It may cost you some friends. In some places, it could even cost you your life, because there are still places in this world on October 18, 2009 where it is a crime to call upon the name of Jesus. See, but despite what it might cost us, we have to move forward, we have to make progress, and we have to be about our Father's business. God is waiting for us to show him just how serious, sincere, and sold out we are to him. See, many people claim to be a soldier on the battlefield, but when it's time to report for duty, they go AWOL. See, we need to ask ourselves, just how important is the Lord to our lives? What kind of decisions would you make if Jesus Christ truly was the most important person in your life? See, we like to get up in front of people and say, give honor to God who's ahead of my life, because that sounds real nice. But is he really the head of your life? Do you spend more time in the salon than you do in the sanctuary? Are you more concerned about what's going on in your clothes closet than you are in your prayer closet? How much of your time do you devote to BS? Yeah, I said BS, because if you are a Christian, BS should be a major priority of your life. Because when I say BS, I'm referring to Bible study. What were you all thinking? See, Bible study, whether you do it here on Wednesday nights, at some other church, in a small group with other believers, will help guide you to the place where God wants us to be, and that is where our minds are completely focused on him. See, that's what Romans 12 calls our reasonable service. See, Jesus said that we must, that means it's not optional, we must worship God in spirit and in truth. See, in order for us to worship him in spirit and in truth, our worship must contain four elements that make it pleasing and acceptable in his sight. Those four elements are, number one, God must be glorified. Number two, believers must be purified. Number three, the church must be edified. And number four, the lost must be evangelized. See, in order for us to fully understand this, we must have an understanding of what worship really is. Now, if you ask 50 people what worship is, you're going to get 50 different answers.
That's right.
Because each of us believes we know and understand what worship is and how to do it. But worship, in its simplest terms, is expressing our adoration, our admiration, and our dedication to Jesus Christ. Now, that's what it is. Now, how do we do it? We do this by spending time in prayer through consecration. We do this by studying God's word for divine revelation. We do this by obeying his word without hesitation. We do this by sharing our testimonies and our trials with other believers for inspiration and motivation. We do this by leading others to Christ, which is our obligation. And we do this by praising his name and celebration. That's how we worship. See, now every Sunday morning across this nation, millions of people gather in thousands of churches for worship. See, each of those worships, each of those churches practice worship in a different way. Now, when I was growing up, I got to see this firsthand because my parents belonged to two different churches throughout their entire marriage. One belonged to the Baptist Church, one belonged to the Church of God in Christ. Now, both churches preached the birth, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And both churches preached Jesus as the creator of all things. Both churches preached Jesus will return again. And both churches preached the unity and sovereignty of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Yet both of those churches celebrated these things and worshiped in very different ways. Now, when I went to church with my father and Church of God in Christ, their services were charismatic, and they were emotional, and they were free-flowing, and they were loud. See, they didn't have church bulletins, they didn't have an order of service, they didn't have any specific format of how and when things would take place, and you never knew from one Sunday to the next exactly what was going to happen. And those services would last 3 and 4 hours sometimes. Now here at Lily, things were more structured, and they were laid back. Things were more subdued, and they moved quickly. Service was over here in the later than 12:30 every Sunday. And see, once in a while, you'd have sisters like Emma Lou Jackson or Sister Davenport or Rosa Bird or Nellie Foy. One of them would break out in a shout, and someone from the Nurses Guild would run over to them with a fan, some water, and get them calmed down. Now, in my dad's church, that happened every week. Okay, somebody was always shouting, always dancing, always running around the place. And that's not to say that one place was right and the other place was wrong. That's not to say that one was proper and the other was improper. It's just to point out that they were different. Because you'll see different forms of worship in effect depending upon the church that you're in. That's why when we partake in a worship service, we must examine it and ensure it contains all four elements that I mentioned above, beginning with God must be glorified. See, regardless of how loud, how quiet, how long, or how short the worship service is, the thing to remember is that its primary purpose is to glorify God. Each of us were created for two kinds of purposes, a general purpose and a specific purpose. Now, our general purpose is to glorify and magnify our Creator. Our specific purpose is about the contribution we're supposed